Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
This is Chip Snuff from Enough Snuff, and I give you the right to rock, so turn it up, brothers and sisters.
Hello, everybody. This is Mark Torian from the Bullet Boys, and I give you the right to rock, baby.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, they use aluminum foil for toilet paper. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Texas. You've got the Genghis and Ragman Show on the spot at Skull Bar.
Is that a new one?
Now get ready for two guys. They're so crazy. They roll their hair with foil paper.
I don't know. What are you talking about? This is not your first band.
They all wear spiked underwear.
Studded underwear.
That's studded? Not yeah.
They use studded condoms.
Studded condoms. I like it.
That is metal, huh?
Hey, funny you would mention that.
Exactly.
I ripped a girl. It looked like the Chainsaw Massacre when I was done.
You sure it was a girl?
What?
You doing all right, Paisan?
Hey, yeah, how you doing over there?
Considering I just had a crown put in, not bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
I just had surgery. You guys are wondering, like, what the hell happened in the month of November?
No shit.
Where those pricks go?
A lot of shit happened, actually.
Well, October, I guess, going into November. We had a little bit of a lull.
Just the last part of the, from the summer on the way out, ever since there's been all kinds of shit. We'll talk about it at the Christmas show.
Sure,
the big
sure.
show when we talk about the year in review and how, like, the second half, it kind of sucked ass.
I had surgery. You had a crown.
Some minor surgery in the mouth.
Yeah.
My fucking mouth.
You got a little knife fight with some people. Had to get stitches. I got to tell you something fucked up about that, but we won't go over there tonight.
I got to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you.
So. Anyway, I do want to talk about something we saw. So, we got some stuff that we need to kind of get to you quick. So,
Back about the end of, beginning of November, we went and saw the Hair Nation tour.
Yep.
And we hooked up with our buddy Chip and Mark Torian with the Bullet Boys.
Chipster Holmes?
Yeah, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the show. Maybe we'll start out with a tune from one of those bands. What do you think, Holmes?
Yeah, let's hit it.
How about some Enough Snuff?
What you think?
The girl that was with Josh.
Blue Eye?
I wish they would play that live.
Which is where they're from, right? That's like the small town.
Blue Island, from. Illinois, or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a suburb of Chicago.
You can hear Chip talking about it. Chip will tell you.
Chip's the man, Holmes.
He is the man, Holmes. But anyway, I guess starting back when we went to the Hair Nation Fest, we had a lot of trouble getting there. Had a lot of stuff pre-booked. We were going to talk to Chip before the show, and then an hour later we're talking to Mark, or vice versa, I can't remember. But long story short, on the way there, I broke down.
For real.
You, I don't know if you were tied up, but you're waiting on me, and I appreciate that. So
that's what I did.
I was driving down the freeway. My the little belt, the CVT belt for the transmission on these newer vehicles, some of the teeth of the fucking belt popped off, and the transmission said, you know what, fuck this, I'm done.
Damn, that's not good.
It shut down. So dude, I'm driving halfway to the venue and the car is just in neutral, basically on the freeway in the middle of rush hour, because I think were we trying to get there by six,
something like that,
or five or six to do the interview,
right?
I want to say five.
I don't think it was five, because I couldn't have made it five.
No, maybe it was six.
But, I work downtown, but I don't get off till later.
But long story short, I had to get a tow truck, tow to the dealership, get a rental car, get food, and then we met Genghis at the arena right as Enough's Enough was taking the stage. So we missed, I would say, three quarters of Baby Loves You.
Right.
But
which is not bad, considering.
Talking about the show itself, I thought Chip and the Boys sounded good. I think they sound better every time we see them. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. They always sound amazing. His voice is really getting good, man.
I really think that they've got that chemistry going now with Tony in there doing the harmonies with Chip. Mm-hmm. Tony really accents Chip's voice nicely, I think.
Yep.
I actually got an interview coming up with Chip, and Tony makes a guest appearance in the interview. But I think, like I said, chemistry-wise, I think they're really starting to gel.
And the guitar work is really nice.
Yeah, Tori is really... If he had the effects like Frigo, forget about it.
And nothing against Tori's playing at all. But yeah, Frigo, by comparison, if you're going to compare, is a little more... legato, a little more fluid, and just he was just so slippery, just like it was nothing. Not that, you know, Tori can't play the licks. He's good, but he kind of does his own thing. You can tell that Chip sort of said, you know what, as long as it's close, you know, don't worry about note for note. Just give it the feel. It's all about the feel and the attitude, and that's fine. And he does great. That's what I like about it, is that there are those guitarists that say, I got to learn every note and play it note for note.
Yeah.
Like probably like when you're an Aussie band, he probably used to say, get close to it as close as you can. But, you know, this Chip is like, we're cool. And then that allows the artist to kind of do their own thing and not feel like they're just,
right,
you know, a robot or something. So that's I dig that. And he does a great job. Got to give it to him.
And I think Tori is really, I think he's come out of his shell more over the last couple of years, where he was kind of a little bit more subdued in the background, it seemed like. And this year he had kind of a little guitar solo thing, which I thought, wow. It really kind of highlighted the guy can rip. And again, like you said, maybe, I mean, you kind of don't want to compare him to Frigo, but that's those first three albums with Frigo on them. You're like, hey, come on.
It's a legendary show.
Yeah. But as far as guitar players they've had, Tori was probably the second best, you know, behind Frigo. And no knock on Tori, just they're different guitar players.
Sure.
We just like that kind of flashy, like you said, legato.
And it just really fits nicely.
The delay.
But Chip, too, I don't know if you mentioned it, Chip not only broke one, but two strings on his bass. Did you notice that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he was up there playing his bass, that first bass he started with the funny colored strings. And first you see him playing, all of a sudden he's like stops. I've seen him playing, all of a sudden he kind of stops and goes like, huh? And I look at him, what's that weird thing that's moving around? And one of his strings was just dangling. He's kind of like in the middle of, I think someone's doing a solo.
Oh, wow.
So he's kind of like, oh, shit. So he's like, and he kind of plays along. And then before you know it, a second string had broken.
Oh, wow.
While the guy in the back, and you can see him scrambling backstage trying to find another bass for him. I guess they weren't ready. He was probably planning on using that bass the whole gig. And so they're like, oh, shit. And luckily, they always carry at least one or two different guitars with them. So they managed to get one out there before it was too late. He'd miss a beat, really. I mean, he did pretty well, considering he kind of vamped up there for a little bit, like, da-da-da, soft shoe. And then, before you know, the hook came back up, boom, he's good to go by the time the chorus came back in. So, worked out fine. But I was like, damn, how hard is he hitting that bass, dude?
Definitely. Well, tell you what, let's kind of discuss your show. It just a mix of classics, a couple new tracks. I thought the new tracks came off really well live. Metal Heart was one. I think they played Diamond Boy. And then the rest is kind of classic enough stuff.
Yep.
You know, mainly stuff off the first two records. I'd like to see him mix in some other stuff at some point. But
I want some Who's Got You Now. I miss that song.
Yeah?
Just that opening guitar, the harmonized guitar.
Why don't we start the interview with that tune?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's do it, and you're going to hear Chip and Tony. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Chip from Enough Snuff. You're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, Horns Up.
Guys, you're live. I mean, freaking live. I mean, we got Jack Russell playing in the background. Genghis and Ragman live with one of our favorite guys in the industry, Mr. Chip Snuff. Give it up, motherfuckers. Chip, it is so awesome to see you, brother. How you been? How's the tour going? I know it's almost over, but how's it been so far?
It's been a terrific tour. Great White has been so nice to us. I love Jack Russell's pipes. Wonderful singer and an incredible human being and a real humanitarian. And Bullet Boys, every single night, they bring their show. It's a Los Angeles-based band. They every night coming with all the cylinders running. And I think that it's been a nice package. You put all the bands together. Eddie Trunk has been on select dates around the country as well with us, and he's been wonderful to us, and so is SiriusXM. And Live Nations, I got to thank them for putting this whole package together. They're the catalyst for this whole tour, and I hope there's many more to show, you know, in the future. They're talking about maybe a second leg, and that would be certainly nice, but I'm celebrating right now to be on this tour and be able to go out and work for 2 months around the road supporting our new album.
Well, that's awesome, and I got to say, you know, Jack's had a lot of problems, and his pipes, you ain't shitting. He sounds like money. I saw him back in the day in the 80s. I wish he was playing like Stick It. I don't know if you remember that song. But, you know, I don't think he's going to do that. He's going to do the hits, of course, but his pipes. I mean, I was looking at Genghis. I was like, holy shit. I mean, Jack, he's had it rough, but, man, he has not lost anything vocally.
Well, most musicians that are out there have had a tough time, okay? Whether it started in childhood with their families, you know, or just the sacrifice of being on the road, you have to leave your friends and family behind. It's quite a challenge for any musician out there. So to see anybody out there playing shows, I'm a big fan of them, big proponent, and I wish them all well. And this tour has been no exception. All of us have gone through our trials and tribulations, and the music is what sets everything apart and gives us that couple hours out there. And listen to the fans. They're going crazy out there, yeah, because it's a great rock show every single night. It's a celebration of life. And that's what brings us all together here. Great music. Some of these songs that we've performed and written are timeless. And I'm just glad to be a small part of it. I got to be honest with you. And I'm very proud of this opportunity to be able to go out and play these shows live for people every single night in a nice venue. And all the House of Blues, Wiltern Theaters, Paramount Theater, Stone Ponies. It's all been really good rooms out here on this whole tour. And Live Nations, once again, they've come through for us, and I'm very happy.
Any chance that maybe you might this might parlay into something bigger? I don't know. I could see you hosting your own show, dude, on a SiriusXM, if you ask my opinion.
Oh, he's got the personality. I've heard you on Stern. I've heard you on Eddie Truck Show. I mean, you've got the personality. Oh, Tony just came in. Come on, Tony, join the fun.
I've co-hosted radio plenty of times. I'm on every weekend on the Monster Rock on the Dash Radio Network, and that's been a lot of fun. And before that, I did the Man Cow Show. I was a co-host on that show for a couple of years on the Loop in Chicago before they got bought out. So I've had quite a lot of experience on radio, and I love the people, so it's an easy gig.
Well, speaking of which, you mentioned early on in the show, and then Mark mentioned it and Jax mentioned it, the show's been recorded live here in Houston. Is it for a download? Is it for a streaming thing? Or what is it?
Yeah, it's called Hair Affair. It's by Set.fm. That's the app. You have to get Set.fm, and you can get all the shows. You know, they're recording tonight's show, and you get to come to the concert, watch the show, and then get a download to keep this memory forever, which I think is really nice. And there's a bunch of shows that are on there, actually, but if I'm not mistaken, they just started setting this thing up, and it's pretty simple. You download the free app, which, once again, is Set.fm. You can also zap. There's a small little thing on there in the back of it with your telephone. And you register and you log in with that number. And so you can select any show you want and you can purchase it. And when the show ends, you just download the whole set and that's it. And take it with you for the rest of your life. So it's something, new technology. In the old days, you couldn't do it. You couldn't even bring a tape recorder. I remember going to see all the old bands from the Grateful Dead to Queen. You couldn't even bring a camera in there, let alone to record the shows. However, the Grateful Dead was a little loose on that, but bands like Led Zeppelin and Queen and the earlier bands out there, none of them let you do that. So it's a new time in the world, and social media is taking over in some ways, and there's some nice little perks that come along with that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. As far as new technology with cameras and people recording, I mean, what are your thoughts when you see all these phones in the air, does it piss you off, or are you kind of gratified in a sense where guys want to, you know, have a memory of like videos or pictures or what have you? Or is this like, hey guys, put down the fucking phone and watch me play. I'm here to entertain you. What are your thoughts on that?
No, the fans have spent their money and they work very hard. A lot of people out there have jobs and they work 2-3 jobs a week to get through and make things happen in the show. So my thoughts are, however you want to enjoy the concert, it's up to you. Telephones don't bother me at all. You're gonna, no matter what, you're going to get a great rock show when you come see Enough's Enough.
I think Tony wants to interject.
I do. Can I just say that I actually heard these band, Enough's Enough, 1987-ish. I heard the original demos because I was actually at the offices in Atlantic, in New York. And Derek Shulman, the guy who signed these guys, he said, I got a band to play here. And I was like, okay. So he plays me Fly High, Michelle, New Thing, and In the Groove. I basically shit my pants. I was like, oh my God, this band, they're going to be huge. They're going to be massive. I met Chip and he was a darling. He was an absolute superstar. This band were destined for something. I knew it as soon as I heard it. And Chip and I have known each other a long, 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 long time. And for me, it's an absolute pleasure to play those songs. The songs that I heard, because I knew they were good. I heard that, and I heard Tangiers at the time. The only other time I've ever felt the power of listening to this guy's demos, I was with Derek Shulman in a limo, and he said, Tony, what do you think of this? And he played me at the Electric Boys, Lips and Hips, and I went, good God. And they were the closest I've ever heard to the original Enough's Enough demos. They blew me away, absolutely blew me away. I think it was their master at the time, but the Enough's Enough demos, I'm not talking about the mastered versions when it ended up on Enough's Enough 1. The songs, the power, and these guys look right, and they were an amazing band, and I saw them at the Cat Club a couple of days later. This guy's a star.
Oh yeah.
Without a doubt. So is Donnie. These guys are the real deal. And for me to play these songs, it's an absolute pleasure. This guy's one of my best friends, without a doubt. And as a band, we love each other on stage and we give a shit. We absolutely give a shit about the history, the legacy of the band, and the fans know that. If they don't, they've got earplugs in. Because,
well, it definitely comes offline.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, something I've told Chip a million times since you've joined the band, when we first saw you with the band back at Scout Bar, you know, with Ace Frehley, I was like, oh my God, you know, the harmonies are back. You know, it's, you know, because being a Donnie fan, I was like, oh, what's going to happen with the harmonies?
Yeah.
And you really hear it on Diamond Boy.
Yeah.
In Metal Heart, that I was telling Faith, my daughter, or the Metal Munchkin, or in the car earlier, I was like, they got to do Metal Heart.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear how they pull off the harmonies live. And sure as shit, y'all pulled it off live, man. Awesome job.
Again, I'll take myself out of this conversation right now because that guy's a star. But I'm going to say this. We give a shit. We bring it every night. This is not dialed in for 1 second. And that guy knew it was difficult from day one. When he called me and he said, right, are you in? And he bamboozled me to join this band, by the way. But he's the best bamboozler I've ever met in my life. But the first thing I said to him, I said, let's have one rehearsal. Let me hear you sing those songs. And if it's not right, it's not right. We did one rehearsal and I went, well, that's that then. Let's get on. And 4 or 5 days later, we were playing the gig. I love this guy. He brings it because he loves the fans. He's never left that. You see him after the gig tonight. He's straight out.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he's selling merch, but he gives a shit. As does the band. As does the band. And I'm hoping, and I think you know this, that we bring the whole circus to town. And every time we play, we give a shit.
Oh yeah.
Never once have we dialed this in, because when you do, everybody can jump on your throat and say, like, this band's just a vehicle to play. No, we give a shit, we love it. And the new album we love, and this guy's a clever guy. He's a pretty clever guy. Hey, I love you, Chip.
Love you, bro.
You better. Otherwise, because I know where you live. You know I know where he lives.
You know where he lives.
Thank
Thanks, Tony. Good seeing you, brother.
Thank you.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, every time we see you guys, and I think Genghis can attest, you get better. It's not like, that was the same show we saw last time. It was like today. I mean, I was looking at Tori. I'm like, fucking Tori is getting it tonight, man. That's awesome. And you sound you sound great every time, Chip. But tonight, you were just on par. And Tony sounded awesome, too. Oh, the Metal Munchkin has a question.
I just wanted to say that I know we were walking up. And I was like, is that, are they playing?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And I was like, they sound absolutely amazing tonight. Like, it sounded so good. Like, I thought it was the radio. Like, it was amazing. I just thought it was a great show. I loved it.
You don't want to hear the horror story that we had getting here? My car broke down on the freeway. My transmission went out.
Oh, God.
We pulled over to the side. We were waiting 2 hours for a wrecker. We got the wrecker. We got to the dealership, got to rent a car, and hauled ass here so we could see Enough's Enough. We missed half of Baby Loves You, which bummed us both out because it's her favorite song and one of my favorite songs. But we wanted to see Enough's Enough. I mean, the dedication. Genghis and I have seen Enough's Enough since they first broke on the first record. We were in college. We were there. Derek Frigo's freaking Christmas tree effects that he and I would like joke about, like, oh my God, that guy's just so amazing. So we've been fans from day one. So again, I mean, not because you're here, we praise you guys all the time. But again, you sound so amazing tonight. And again, you just get stronger. That chemistry. This band is as strong as Enough's Enough's ever been, in my opinion. And I'm not bullshitting because you're here and you're here. I just think you guys, every time, Genghis, what are your thoughts?
Well, it leads me to wonder, to all this talk about legacy and about this kind of, I mean, does this kind of enthusiasm, this kind of heartfelt kind of playing and getting after it after 30 years of it, does that come from an old school kind of sensibility? Do you think that new bands are capable of this kind of feeling? Are there any of them that give you inspiration?
I'd say yeah. I will say this, Chip and I had a plan. When Chip bamboozled me to get to this band, he said, Tori said he's in if you're in. And I went, Tori's in? And he went, yeah. And then he told Tori that I said I was in if he's in. God bless him. And I wish it's the greatest thing that ever happened. This is the best band. I played in a pretty big band for a while.
Yeah.
And I did okay. This band is probably the best band I've ever been in my life. No, the musicianship is fantastic, but there's a real camaraderie. There's a real sense of that guy fucks, we fuck. That guy breaks down, we break down. Everybody's covering everybody all the time. So what the biggest part of this band for me, the energy is amazing, but that guy, meaning Chip's Enough, he gives a shit. And if he didn't, you'd see it. Because, you know, the lies that people make money because they make money, right? There are a lot of 80s bands that go out and do it because they're fucking broke.
Yeah.
They are broke ass. And they're doing it because of that. This guy is not that guy. And I told him 3 years ago, I said, it's a 2-year plan, brother. We're going to bring this band back. And it's going to be the best version of this band we can ever bring. He was in that band. Donnie, Frigo, Vicky, fucking killer band. But this band brings all that energy. I'm praying we do.
Oh yeah.
Because I know the legacy is very, very, very inbred in all of us guys. We love the band. More importantly, we love the songs. And I can sing a bit. And it's a pleasure to sing with him.
That's awesome.
Because he's bringing it every night. And he's smoking like a trooper. And I can't understand how anybody can... Actually, his talking voice is his singing voice. It's insanity to me how anybody can smoke and sing. And he looks after himself, I know. He's a big boy. You know, he looks after himself. But what I'm saying is this. For every single Enough's Enough fan out there that ever questioned whether these three guys with Chip ever for a second dialed it in, not a fucking chance. We love the band, we love the legacy, and we are bringing it. night after night. 10,000. Doesn't fucking matter. You paid the same money for bringing the same show. That's all I'm going to say. I'm out.
Jim, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, he's very eloquent. I think it's a new chapter in Enough Snuff's career. A new record label. A new album. Diamond Boy. New tour here, Hair Nation tour through SiriusXM, Live Nations. I think it's a grand slam right now for us. And I'm really looking forward to what the future has to hold for this band. Make another record for sure. But we're still going to tour on this record. Next year we'll go to Europe and we'll support it. We'll see who goes out with us. I think there's a band called Pump 5 that's going to come out with us, a band from Los Angeles. For the most part, though, I'll continue to take this choo-choo train around the country and play to as many people as possible, and day by day. There's a lot of new bands out there right now that are trying to carry the torch. Greta Van Fleet, Rival Sons, The Struts, who are terrific. And as long as we got SiriusXM and Hair Nation Station and Ozzy's Boneyard and 103, the volume, which Eddie Trunk hosts, I think we got a chance to get in some people's ears and movie, soundtrack, TV show, commercial. There's plenty of opportunities out there for all the bands. And put your best foot forward. It all starts with a great song, and then after that, great live shows. And I think we bring it every single night.
Hell yeah.
I'll say one last thing. If I can just have one last comment.
Oh, of course.
He never breaks bass strings, ever. He didn't break one tonight. One wasn't good enough. He did two. And this guy is such a consummate pro. He's just smashing through it. I'm going, what the fuck is that? And I'm going, you can't break it. It's got to be two, right? It has to be two. This guy loves you. He loves your station. It's people like you that make us want to play. Thank you so fucking much for coming here today. And we love you. This guy is the real deal. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much for talking to us. To all your fans out there, hope everybody lives to be 100 years old, and enjoy your show.
Can I ask you one more question? I know you got to go.
Yes.
Set list. How do you do a set list at these times? And
I just look at the songs that we have. We got quite a catalog of material, and I really try to look at and focus on the songs that have done very well for us. New Thing, Fly Michelle, Baby Loves You, the singles. And then I mix it in with a couple of the deep cuts through the record. So on this tour right here, we only get 45 to an hour, so I made sure I slipped in a couple of songs from the new record, Diamond Boy, which is the title track, Diamond Boy, and Metal Heart, the first single, and mixed it along with those songs. And you can't go wrong. All the songs are pretty solid and strong. And I think the band performs them very well. And it seems to be a nice, smooth transition, all the songs together. And that's how I look at it. There's so many songs I could be playing, but I want to play what the audience wants to hear, and that's why I'm here.
That's awesome. Well, Chip, I know you got to go, but we want to thank you again for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. We want to tell everybody to check out Enough's Enough when they come to your town, and go grab Diamond Boy out now on Frontiers Records. Chip, welcome back again, dude.
Thank you. I'm getting ready to go on stage with Great White, and we're going to do Once Bitten, Twice Shy together. So that's the song we end the night with every single night, and Jack's kind enough to bring me up on stage. And I thank Jack Russell's Great White, as well as the Live Nation guys, for taking a chance on us. Also, Artists Worldwide for booking the tour. They put us on the bill. And most importantly, all the people that have showed up at this for these shows every single night, God bless you. We played over 50,000 people on this tour. It's great.
Well, Chip, thanks again, and we'll see you on tour.
Okay.
You couldn't wait for me to fall.
always opens his door to us whenever he's in town.
He is, and to be fair, I'm not trying to be too inside baseball or break the illusion, but you could tell it's near the end of the tour. Chip's looking a little tired. He's probably a little beat. Maybe he hadn't gotten enough sleep, so he was a little more subdued in the interview. It wasn't hard to talk to,
right?
But luckily, Tony was there to help. You know. Talk it up, because he was effusive, dude. That dude was like, this is the greatest bed. He's really into it. And that's great. It's nice to have that kind of camaraderie, that kind of feeling going within the band. So I thought it was wonderful. The show was fantastic. But like you say, Chip's always cool to talk to us. He always makes time for fans. No fan is too insignificant for him to say, hey, no, brother. You know, come sit with me. We'll talk whatever you want to talk about. He's always cool to the Metal Munch game.
Yeah, really, really nice of Mellow Munchkin. Just really. I think he gave her a bracelet, and Chip didn't give shit.
That's right. But it was nice of him. He gives her tips on singing and stuff, and that's great.
Yeah, so he's
giving kind of guy.
The Chip's awesome. We love Enough's Enough. Next band to play was Bullet Boys. I don't know how big a Bullet. I tell you what, let's start with the Bullet Boys song. How about we go with how about Hard as a Rock? Rock is in Beer Fest.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
I think you're right.
It's in one of those movies around that time frame.
Yep.
I always wonder what kind of royalties those guys get if a song goes into a movie.
I know, you figure there is a royalty, but what is it, like $10? Is it $1,000? Is it $10,000? Who knows?
Yeah.
And is it like every time the movie plays, like on cable or something, or is it every time this DVD is sold? How does it work? You know, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or is it just a straight fee up front and then however many after that?
I don't know.
I'll never understand that. But it'd be interesting to hear that. I guess, you know, you don't want to talk about people. It's like, how much money do you make, dude?
Well, I just wonder how
liquid it is.
I remember when we talked to Doug Aldridge, Doug was talking about the band Lion that I love.
Yeah.
It was either Lion or Bad Moon Rising. I can't remember exactly, but he was saying that he was contacted to put some of that music in a movie, a current movie. I don't know what country or whatever, but I thought, wow, someone's using Lion for a movie now, unless it's like set in the 80s or whatever.
Maybe it's Hemlock Grove, Holmes.
Could have been Holmes. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So I don't know. They've got to contact that guy that wrote the song.
Right.
I don't know if it's so much the band at that point or if it's the guy that wrote it.
I guess it's the one who wrote it, and then maybe the company that, because I think the idea about royalties or who owns a song, obviously if you wrote it, it's your baby, you created it.
Right.
But I think what I've learned is the interesting thing is the recording of the song is actually owned by the record company.
Right.
And that's why a lot of bands later on in their career, when they want to make more money, because they were young and dumb when they sold it, and yet those albums become classics and they're worth a lot of money. So later they'll re-record or remaster, and I think when they re-record it, even just if they change one little thing, it becomes theirs again because they recorded it. So they own it.
Well, they own
the recording.
That's
how they own the song back.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Def Leppard did that, and there's a couple other bands that have done the Twisted Sister.
I think a lot of bands, you'll notice, later on in their careers, that's what they do. They go back and re-record a lot of their stuff so they can own it again, I think.
Right.
Which is, you know, a great way around what I think is otherwise kind of a way. I think it's an old, sort of way of doing things. That's fading away. I don't think new bands deal with that anymore.
Right.
But back then it was a thing. And now I'm glad that last vestige of that kind of shit is fading away. Because
right.
I think there was a way that big record companies would profit off these little, really talented bands and make scores of money while the band made relatively nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they fucked a lot of people back then. But back to Bullet Boys, what did you think? I know you're not the biggest Bullet Boys fan.
I know of them. I could recognize maybe one or two of their songs. Obviously, everyone knows Smooth a Bit Yet.
Right.
That's the song I really know back in the day when we heard them. And I think when Lee was interviewing, because he was interviewing people way back in college.
Huh?
And we went to interview like Faith No More at the guy, the keyboardist of Faith No More back at the back room or something in Austin one time. I went with him, and that's how I got to see him. I think that was with Shotgun Messiah too. It was a great game. It was a great show. Anyway,
I saw Shotgun,
but I think
Faith No More opened,
or is there maybe Shotgun opened for Faith?
No, like Shotgun Messiah headlined, I think.
Okay, then maybe it's another group because they were played with one other band that I was interested in.
Oh, okay.
I remember that. I just don't remember. My memory sucks. Anyway, but back in the day, and one of the bands that was coming to the back room was Bullet Boys, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know them well. I just knew that one song. I was like, I don't care. So I didn't really pay attention, but you guys were all into it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, okay, whatever. I didn't know that Torian was such a badass. I just knew that was one of those MTV songs. I was like, whatever. I was like, I just knew the bands that I liked at the time. So, and I think I was really getting hard into Eric Johnson and stuff. And Steve Vai, so I was like listening to other kind of stuff.
Yeah, Randy T liked all that stuff, so I think he and I went and saw Bullet Boys. I don't remember who they played with or anything like that. I just remember they were badass. It was in San Antonio, that little club we used to go to in San Antonio.
Okay, where we saw a Testament?
Yeah.
Because me and Lee saw
You and Lee went
Testament.
To, I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, there was that one. What was that called? Like the Star Ballroom or something? Or something like that. Anyway, I looked it up the other day because I was trying to find out when
I think we saw Bullet Boys the same place that you and I saw Enough's Enough in Mr. Big.
Oh, that place was great.
Yes.
Because, that was in San Antonio, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the club.
That was a great little place. Yeah, I forgot, too. That was a different place. But, yeah, that was a cool.
Every 80s band went there. Or, no, was it... Who did Icon open that for?
But that was at the same place.
And is that Enough's Enough?
It might. I don't think it was.
Was it Mr. Big?
Yeah, because I don't think we were there to see Icon. But I remember the poor guys. It wasn't looking forward.
It was pretty empty.
Which was kind of bogus because I'm like, that's too bad because these guys are great. They put on a killer show.
Oh, yeah. It was a really good show. So, Bullet Boys, what did you think seeing them live? Were you impressed with them live? Or?
Yeah. The thing you noticed the most, and it's kind of amazing, is Mark Torian, for as old as he is, he's this little bitty guy. That dude is full of energy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He acts like, he runs around and sings and puts everything into it. He looks like he's 20 years old, and it's his first gig. I mean, he's like, I'm excited to be here. He's a total pro. That's basically what that is. That's a guy who says, I don't care what's going on in my personal life. And when I'm on stage, it's all about the band. It's all about the audience.
Right.
Let's do this. And to do that, no matter how old you are, to keep knocking it out night after night, that takes a certain kind of personality, a certain kind of will. And that guy's got it in spades. And I have every bit of respect for that. As far as the guitarist, I didn't hear him play enough to really notice what his true skill is. But I trust you. If you say that he's that good, I trust you. I just have
to hear
it. I need to go back and listen to some of the albums and hear some.
That's the thing, though. They had a lead guitar player, Mick Sweet. That was with King Cobra.
That's what I thought when I that's why I was like, I didn't know Torian was any good. I thought he was just a singer.
He was a guitar player prior to being a singer.
Okay.
And then he got in that singer spot, stopped playing guitar for years. And then as a band went on later on and Sweet left and stuff like that, Mark started playing guitar. And
I remember you telling me that he's supposed to be really good.
Well, he auditioned for Austin. I think he played with Rat. I want to say he played with Rat. Actually, the interview we got coming up, we do address that with him.
Okay.
I do want to mention, I think the last time I saw Bullet Boys was at Rock the Bayou, so that's 2008, so 10 years ago.
Okay. And
I want to say, I agree with you, dude. Torian was freaking full of energy, man. All over the place. I thought the band sounded very good. Torian's vocals are spot on.
Oh, yeah. He was nailing.
I guess with both bands, Enough's Enough and Bullet Boys, I would have tweaked the set list a little bit more. Mixed in some newer, maybe some more deeper tracks, but I mean, that's just me, right?
So deep cuts on it?
But it's something that I think we discussed with both bands. You kind of, for Hair Nation Tour, you got to play the hits.
Sure.
You got to play what SiriusXM's playing on Hair Nation.
Right. So it's a coordinated effort.
But after the tour, they were both going on their own separate tours.
Okay.
So anyway, guys, we'll play a Bullet Boy song. We're going to sit and chat with Mark Torian for a few minutes.
Nice.
Hello, this is Mark Torian from the Bullet Boys, and you're listening to the Genghis and Radman Show. Horns up, baby, all the way up.
Everyone has a tragedy or a stolen broken heart. Can you write me a symphony so I won't fall apart? Can you give me some clarity? It remains to be seen. I can feel you from miles away, though it's hard to believe. Everybody hold on tight. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. With all of my might, with all of my might, with all of my might, I'll never give up the fight. You get me so.
All right, guys, you're live here at House of Blues with Genghis and Ragman, and one of our favorite vocalists, Mr. Mark Torian from the Bullet Boys. Give it up. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
You hear that? Hold on, though.
Oh, shoot.
Die down.
Stop. So, as you can hear, our brother Jack Russell in the background, it's been rad. It's been a great show tonight, and so thank you for coming and having a chat with me.
Well, thanks for having us, and how's the tour so far? I guess there's one more date after tonight, but how's it gone from day one to where we are now?
Just completely magical, and I feel really endeared and blessed to be out here. I really want to thank Live Nation and SiriusXM Hair Nation, and I want to thank my brother Jack Russell especially for having us be his support, his out here on this great tour, man. We've just been having a blast, and I really want to give a lot of love to everybody that's been coming out to see us. You guys have been selling out these rooms and all the houses of blues everywhere in the country and every place that we played. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just been an amazing and really, really rad and special experience, man. It's just amazing. Let's keep it going.
Hey, I got to ask first off, Mark.
Yes.
What is your secret, man? Because I just turned 50 like a couple of weeks ago, and I'm falling apart, dude. Where do you get all this energy, man? And how do you keep on just doing it like it's still the first day?
I can say it really honestly. I get it from the family of friends that we have around us, our fans, and everybody back home. I'm kind of like on a mission to kind of just, you know, keep rock and roll going. I think that a lot of the young folk in this country and abroad and all over the world really need to see, you know, basically how it's kind of really done and how we do it. And I'm just really, I work out very, very hard. I'm very diligent and try to stay in great shape for all y'all so I can get out there and just, you know, blow the roof off of places with myself, Nick, Chad, and Tiny.
Well, let me ask you this, and I hope this isn't too personal, but I know a lot of guys lived hard in the 80s.
Yes.
But there are certain guys that lived hard and have done well. Look at Keith Richards.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, are you kidding me? We're huge fans of Keith. Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
But I don't know if you kind of wrote it hard in the 80s or what, but your voice, oh my God, you were doing Steve Perry tonight, and I was like, oh, we looked at each other, we love Journey, it was like, holy shit, so Mark is killing it out there.
That was just a little homage to him, because he just came out back in the music biz, and put out this beautiful record, and I just wanted to give him some love, because, we all love Journey, and just, it's so great to see him back and singing, and just to hear his beautiful, magical voice. Back on the radio and what have you, and internet, I just love him to death. So it's kind of like our little homage to him,
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Well, let's talk about your record. How has it been received so far? I'm a fan. She's a fan. He's a fan.
Yes.
But how has it come off? And I'm gonna be honest with you. I was a little bummed you only played one new song tonight. So kind of tell me what your thought.
Time frame too. It's a show, so it's like we have a certain amount of time and. Everything's very regimented, so we don't want to go over our time, and it's like once we get into a role on our stage, it turns into this whole thing, this event and show, and we come to bring a show. It's not just us standing around and playing music. It's a show.
Well, I know one time we talked a while, or actually when the record came out, you were like, I want to go out. And maybe a headlining thing, not so much a thing like this. I think a Hair Nation tour, and this was my thought, was, okay, Bullet Boys are going to do their hits, and they're going to try to throw in some new stuff. Enough's Enough's going to do what they got to do. Jack's going to do what he's got to do. It's Hair Nation, right? It's a thing. It's a format. And unfortunately for me, for SiriusXM on Hair Nation, they don't play a lot of new music from artists like yourself.
We've been kind of an exception to the rule. We put out Elefante about 4 years
record,
ago.
By the way.
Thank you so much. And the predecessor would be 10 Cent Billionaire. So we've been on this metamorphosis of sorts of reinventing the band. Myself, C-Mac, and Nico have been together for almost 10 years. So we reinvented the Bullet Boys to bring in more fans, to bring in, I've always learned if you're always looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to be living in the rearview mirror for the rest of your life. So I try not to do that. I put one foot in front of the other, and I'm always grasping at the new and in the future and whatever. I'm still a sponge soaking up knowledge still musically and life and everything that's around me, and especially writing and music. So I never want to be stagnant and try to live in the past, right? So a lot of the people that we play for, they want to hear the new songs, all of them. We didn't play De Evil tonight. We usually play Symphony, but
I love Symphony.
We've gone over a couple nights, and we don't want to do that. So plus two, there's a lot involved in the songs, the breakdowns and what we do, it's very Motown-esque, if I can go there with it.
Oh, yeah.
I was signed with Motown when I was very, very young, so that's the whole thing, and I just love the fans, and I call them more family than fans, because we have a really, as you could see tonight, we have a really strong following, and people that really love what we do, and I just give them all the credit. I wouldn't be up on stage if it wasn't for, our families out there, and people that come to see us play. It's a really big thing, we don't have to do this, we get to do this.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what's so great about the new record. You mix in some of that Motown stuff. So, and I think when we talked the first time, I was like, I hear some James Brown, I hear this, I hear that, and you're like, hell yeah, man, you got it, man. So I like that you did that, and on stage, you're, like Genghis said, you're just a monster. I'm 52, and I'm like, holy shit, dude. Yeah, I wish...
I've been tripping on that lately. It's like going, dude, how are you doing this stuff? I go, I just, I don't know, it's in me. And our predecessors, the people that we so admire, musicians, the James Browns, as you mentioned, the Michael Jacksons, God bless him, rest in peace, Iggy Pop, the great and magical Steven Tyler, who I just look up to, and he's still doing it, at his age, Alice Cooper, and of course, Mick Jagger, and my guy was like, I love David Bowie. So David Bowie to me was just like, he was so special that people don't even realize how special. I think some of us do, but that was a really special human that came to visit us with his magical talent.
The Starman.
Yeah, man. So I look at that and I look at, you know, those people, and now the some of my faves that are, you know, that are around. I'm a big Jack White fan. I love him to death. I think he's just an incredible musician and performer. I love the Foos. The Foos are just like, you know, they're my go-to. The David Grohl's a genius, and I feel that's like the Paul McCartney of our generation, basically. And, you know, Queens of the Stone Age, it was a death metal. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff. I listen to a lot of jazz. I listen to Miles Davis. I listen to deep R&B stuff, cuts, you know, Barry White stuff. I mean, I'm all over the place. So to be able to corral all that and to put to have it come out as From Out of the Skies was kind of a really difficult thing to do, because I didn't know we were taking risks. We took big risks on the record, and it's paid off, because your daughter loves Losing End Again, Hi-Fi Drive-By, and Switchblade Butterfly, which was something that I wasn't going to put on the record. It was something that I just did live every once in a while, but I wanted to put it out there for people like me that I feel like came from the island of the misfit toys, you know? And it kind of resonates, that song, like that. So anybody that's gone through some stuff there's a light to me at the end of the tunnel, and I really want my time to shine. And going back to the question that you asked me, not to be long-winded, I'm sorry.
Oh no.
But to have the energy comes from within me. I have a strong faith. I'm not perfect, but I have a lot of faith in God, and I'm very, very blessed that I'm still able to move like that and jump around and to, you know. But it's I work on it, you know. It's not something like I go back home. I'm in the gym. I'm working on my core, everything. Because if I came out and tried to do that, they'd be like, no. Okay, third song is hold on, you know. So
if you had one of these.
Oh yeah. No, trust me, I would love to, but I'm really regimented. I try to eat the right things, and you know, I try to stay, you know, in great shape. It's a lifestyle. It's not something that I was born into it. I come from a very musical background with my mother and father and my family. So it's a blessing and a curse in the same stroke of a sword. So, but I feel lately from the past, there was a lot of shows when we first came out, the original thing, where I was completely polluted. And I wasn't performing, I didn't think at my best. I know we had a lot of success, but as of the past 9 years, I really feel that we're really, like even on this tour, we've come together as a band, and we just keep on growing and knowing and trusting each other on stage. So, like, this is the happiest I've ever been, even more happy than I was in the original band.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just, you know, and nothing, all the love to those guys, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. But I am extremely happy right now. I feel a lot of energy and a lot of spark, and I just feel like we're kicking some ass and doing our thing, man. And the new music really sparks that.
Well, I was going to say it's a certain a similar dynamic to Enough's Enough, and I was talking to Tony and Chip here shortly a little bit ago, and I was like, you know what? Every time I see you guys, you sound better. And then you're better. I'm like, oh, they're not going to get better. They got better. I mean, tonight there was like, oh my God, you know. And I haven't seen you since Rock the Bayou, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But the music, I like the new music.
No, just kidding.
But I loved Elefante, and instilled it in her brain, like Symphony. We will sing that in the car. she can get closer with her vocals. But it's a similar thing where you have, like, the go back to Deep Purple, Mach 2 of Bullet Boys, or Mach 2 of Enough's Enough.
Right.
You're there, and everybody's tight. There's no real animosity. You know?
It's really different. I wouldn't put myself in the same category as Enough's Enough, no disrespect. We're a different band than they are.
Right.
We're from SoCal. We're a lot harder. I'm actually the original singer and founding member of my band.
Yeah.
And Chip is not.
Chip's
a bass player.
And,
you know, here, we don't sing, you know, this is straight punk rock. I call it punk and roll. Mm-hmm. There's no backing tracks, nothing like that. Or we're not, you know, we don't have any samples or anything. It's all plug and play. So what you hear is what you get.
That's awesome. Well, I think the dynamic that we met was
No, your original no, guy and no, in Chip's no, original guy. No, oh, no, no, I get that.
It's apples and oranges. Sure, it's not sure. The same thing. We're very aggressive when we play. You know, our thing is a lot of energy. It's, you know, that's our thing. And their thing is much more, musical, you know, and it just, you know, more musical.
Sure.
Ours is like this. Go out there and crush the stage and blow roofs off of places, you know?
Yeah, I think my comparison was your original guy, Chip's original guy, and you got three new guys, and you have this new chemistry.
Yeah.
And it's the chemistry. Not really musically, you're different bands.
Yeah.
But I think the chemistry, you got three new guys, and you have a chemistry out there where you're out there killing it every night. Same thing with Enough's Enough.
I'll tell you what, the same thing with my brother Jack Russell, man. He's got a great band. He sounds incredible. He's been through so much, and for him to be able to sing and to be up there doing his thing, I love him to death, and I have so much respect for Jack Russell, and I want to thank him in this interview for having us be his rocking chair band support before he played. It was a big thing for us, and it's very well respected by my band and organization.
Cool. Hey, I just want to say, one of the things I've noticed listening to you just now, and I think it may be the secret, because we asked Chip about it, and Tony, and the idea of how bands that have been around as long as you guys have been around, and yet still have this energy, still have a devoted following, I think part of that is I hear that the humility and the gratitude in your voice and the way you talk about fans and stuff.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the kind of thing that maybe only comes with decades of experience in the music industry and the wisdom that you kind of build up over the years, recognizing, you know, not just in a sense of where my bread is buttered, but just really that this is a gift that I can get up and give on the stage as an artist, express myself, and get that instant feedback from an audience.
No,
and I can sense that you really do feel that.
Oh, no, it's all humility. I mean, I just on this run itself, you know, we had an RV that broke down. We had to switch gears and switch gears, and then get a recon a van from a friend of ours from a long time ago who drove it 2.5 hours for us in Kentucky. And
wow.
You know, it's just been this. When people think it's always easy and traveling around in buses and woohoo, you know, hey, look at me, I'm fucking. We're not like that. We're very punk rock in the way we approach the whole thing. We're very down to earth. I would say we're more like Barbecue and Lynyrd Skynyrd and punk rock than we're like, you know, rock star Hollywood Sunset Strip thing. Because there is humility and there is a sense of being humble. And I don't think it's really an age thing. I think that it's a. Also a sobriety thing. I'm sober, so I've been sober for like almost 28 years. So,
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's. But we still have those tendencies of people that I am to want things right now. You know.
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot of patience, a lot, and I've just learned to be grateful for what you're doing, because you're setting up something for your future. So long as you can be. Dedicated to your craft and to music and to your art, no matter what happens, just be dedicated to it, and the other stuff will find its way in the universe.
Oh yeah, I know you have a question.
Yes.
Well, it's not. I was just going to build off of what you said. I think the reason why I love your music so much is because I can feel passion and I can feel like emotion, and I can feel that it's not just like I had sex with this lady kind of song. It's more like, this is what happened to me. Like, this is what I felt. This is what happened. This is real. This is life.
Yes.
And that's what I love about your music, because I've been through some stuff myself.
Yes.
And so your music just, like, I feel like it reaches people. And songs nowadays, especially with, like, rap and pop, it's not, like, genuine. And I feel like your music is so genuine and real. I just think it makes the whole thing, and I think it takes such a great musician as yourself to be able to put out that music for it to do so well. I just love you so much.
You're so badass. Thank you so much. I love you so hard. Thank you. And thank you for sharing that. Like, it really means a lot to me that we're moving people with the music that we play. I never wanted the band to be this sex joint band.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the first record was, like, of course, it was, you know, the late 80s, we came out, we did most of our touring through the 90s, so people don't realize that, we weren't around 82, I was still in school and what have you. Yeah. So, you know, our thing was through the 90s, and after a while you're just going like, man, you know, there's got to be something else, and I wanted to move on from that. So it wasn't, it, you know, I wanted the stuff to be spooky, sexy with you know, feelings. You know, I wear my, I super glue my heart together every day when I wake up. So it's something that I have that's in me, and I think that some people do have that. A lot of artists do that, have that. Like, I wouldn't say it's the depression. I would say it's more like, how would you say, gosh, man, like, not like a, you know, just to keep things real, man, because this world is so crazy, and I really think that we need a lot more love. And if everybody can love on each other a lot more, and not look at who you are, your monetary status, you know, this sounds very cliche, but the color of your skin or your religion or your faith or anything like that, we don't roll like that. We love on everybody every time we go every place. So I think if, you know, John Lennon said it the best, you know, and we all know what John Lennon said, all we need is love. So, and not take ourselves so bloody seriously all the time. I don't take myself seriously. We joke around and we always make fun of each other constantly. And, you know, we're constantly laughing in this band. That's all we do is laugh. We're very much like fun-loving villains. We're making fun of everybody and making fun of ourselves at the same time. But that's what keeps it going. And that's what, you know, it's, I love these guys. I love being on tour with them, even if it's hard, whatever. A lot of guys have it easier with that are maybe selling way more records and what have you, and God bless them, you know. So long as we keep in the rock thing going and where we're coming from, I think that we're just really fortunate, man. And I'm very fortunate that I can do what I can do. I wouldn't get up on stage if I couldn't do my best. So I always try to do my best at every show, like it's my last show.
That's awesome, and I got to compliment you on your guitar playing. And I know there's that story you tried out for Ozzy back in the day, and and stuff like that. And I think you've really grown into your
Rat. So I was a member of Rat for a while. Shout out to the Rat men and Steven. I love Steven. I played in Rat. You know, I was rehearsed with Ozzy Osbourne, which was basically playing with the band, and I got kind of left behind because they thought I was a little bit too young still, and they were still getting over everything that had happened with Randy. So,
well, you know, it's funny.
But very fortunate. I mean, I love Ozzy and Sharon so much, man. They gave me the opportunity of a lifetime, and and I'll never forget that.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know Doug Aldrich. He's playing with the Dead Daisies. Doug had a similar story with Kiss.
Doug's awesome.
He almost got in Kiss, and they're like, you're a little too young for this. Let's wait a little bit, you know. And they got the House of Lords gig through Gene Simmons, which was cool, you know. So,
Gene and Paul, I love them with all my heart. Gene and Paul, this is a true story. When I was first coming into Hollywood to play, I would come and play at the Troubadour. And Doug Weston owned the Troubadour at the time. And he gave me a shot to play there. I was brought into the business basically with all these amazing rock personas and tons of mentors that I had through, because you mentioned the band, Greg Jeffria. Greg Jeffria basically brought me into this business. And And he got Gene and Paul to come and see me play at the Troubadour.
Really?
Because he thought I was really talented in my high school band. So I've known them for a very, very long time, and Gene has always been such a sweetheart and a gentleman, and with amazing advice. And Paul, I love him to death. And you know, those guys are like my idols, man. Yeah. You know, totally. So, no, absolutely. So I kind of got lost. I'm starting to think about things back in the day. And go, wait a minute. But that's true story. So
that's awesome.
So, man, I've known them since back then, and you know, very blessed that they came to hang out with and see some kid from Montebello that was playing at the Troubadour. You know,
that's killer. Well, Mark, what's next? The Hair Nation tour ends tomorrow in Dallas, and the Metal Munchkin maybe singing on stage with you. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. You never know.
Do symphony for me tomorrow, if you would.
We will. Absolutely. Okay. You got it.
Okay. What's next? Another tour? Are you thinking about a new record already? What's going on?
You know, I'm not thinking about a new record right now. There's a lot of things that I'm going. We're going to go back and cut another video. So we're going to be working this record for a while, probably all the next year. Thank you. We've gotten so many accolades on this record, I can't even tell you, and I'm so humbled by the reaction of people and just what all the writers have been writing about this record. And you know, it's like your daughter said, you know, it's something that's special. So when we created it together, it I'm glad that it resounds like that with everybody. But I'm gonna go back, do a new video. We're doing the Monsters of Rock cruise in February.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that, and then we've got a bunch of shows here in November. So we've got 5 other shows that we have right after this, and then we're just going to take a break and for the holiday season in January, and we're looking at doing another huge tour this next summer, and we're up for some really big tours with some major bands, and really stoked about it.
As far as headlining, because I know when, like, the Hair Nation thing, like we talked about, you got to kind of do, you got to play to the audience, right?
Sure.
So a headlining gig, you can say, okay, I'm writing the set the way I want to write it.
Oh,
I'm going to play some hits,
yes.
But I'm going to put in the stuff I really want to play.
Oh, yeah.
So is there any of that in our future?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
As soon as we, it's in the works right now. So we're talking about that for next year, doing some, we'll see what happens. I hate to give anything away.
Yeah.
So
just come back to you, this is all I'm asking.
No, yeah. No, absolutely, we will for sure.
Hell yeah. She's lost. Well, Mark, we want to let you get to. You've had a great show tonight.
It was so rad.
But thank you for coming on the Gangus and Ragman show once again.
Yes.
And you're welcome back anytime.
You guys are so rad. Thank you for having me.
But thank you, and good luck with tomorrow and the rest of what's going on there.
Hope to see you tomorrow. The Metal Munchkin.
Yeah.
The Metal Munchkin is so rad. She's like my new fave. She's just rad. It's great energy. Your daughter's great energy. And thank you, guys. I just feel blessed. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank
You're
you
awesome.
Brother. So rad. Thanks.
Champ of the world, now I'm a knight in dirty armor. Without you, girl, in the end, I'm on the losing end again. Purple roses, the thorns cut deep, but this thrill of perseverance smells so sweet. I'm on the mend and on the losing end again. Can't pretend I'm on the winning. Again. Cause every time I stumble, I won't fall. Flip the finger to all the know-it-alls. I can see my city, she stands tall. In the end, I'm on the losing end. Oh.
Mark was awesome. Just before we shut down here, I'm just going to let you know, they were so kind. They were actually going to let my daughter, the Metal Munchkin, sing for Mark, and we had planned on doing some stuff, and invited us to Dallas. Gagus didn't make it, but the Metal Munchkin and I went on a little roadie to Dallas, saw the same show. Well, not actually the same show. Bullet Boys changed it up a little bit. I did want to mention, back to Mark's vocals, he did this little journey thing in the middle of their set in Houston. I thought he sounded amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, shit, are you trying to get Arnell's spot, homie?
I don't know. Is anybody listening?
You want to send him his love, homie?
But, you know, they were so kind. I want to thank both the bands for their hospitality for Gangus and Ragman and the Metal Munchkin. Opening their doors, sitting down, giving us time. They were, you could tell they were tired. It was second to the last night of the tour. The last thing they wanted to do was talk to a couple schlubs like us, but they were cool enough to do it.
They're very inviting, let us in.
Yeah.
Open up to us, and Mark was totally cool with all of us. Very professional, very open. Nice guy.
And Chip did allude that it's going to be something in the making for next year. So, guys, you know, keep an eye out for that. If you're into that, this kind of music, this, you know, a little bit of a nostalgia kick. But they do mix in some new stuff. So, a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new. Hopefully, the set list will change a little bit more where you get a little bit more variety of catalog, you know. But both bands, again, thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts here at therighttorock.com. I do want to mention one last thing. We have it, and we didn't interview him, but Jack White's great. Or Jack Russell's great White.
Yeah.
Jack sounded amazing.
He did.
He was stumbling a little bit. I mean, not due to any sort of issues other than just medical issues.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a hard time getting around, but his voice, I don't know how he's kept that voice.
He sounds amazing.
But I really thought Bray Wyatt, I was pretty impressed with them.
Yeah, they had a good sound. Sure.
I think I actually saw a little bit more of them on the second night than I did the first night. Because actually we were backstage.
Right, we missed a lot of it because we were backstage.
But Jack sounded great. So, guys, we just want to give you a quick little show. We caught up with the guys here. We thought we had some really good interviews with them. And until next time, we want to give you two big what's up.
This has been Genghis
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.